Welcome to Car Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm your host, Scott Benjamin.
I am Ben Bolin.
And I am Kurt Guerin.
And today, oh, you know what? Actually, before we even get into our topic,
I was
going to jump right in there, both feet, but I think there's something that we had talked about on the last show that I think we still have to address. And that is your brand new car, Ben, your new to you car.
Right, my new to me car.
So tell us what it is, and you've been in this thing for about a week. So tell us a little bit about it.
Did we not talk about this on previous episode?
We talked about what it was, but you were a day away from picking it up.
Oh, that's right. So I took possession on a 2017 Ford Escape, a little over 60,000 miles on it, but I got a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I am currently selling. Trying to sell my Monte Carlo. That's a whole different bag of badgers. But so far, I really enjoy it. You know how it is if you've owned older cars for a while. First off, also never buy a brand new car. If you've driven around older cars for a while, it feels like the frickin' future when you hop into anything that's built more recently. I was looking into Escapes because I did a fantastic, blazing road trip from Atlanta to New Orleans and back in a 2015 Ford Escape that was a hybrid. And to be honest, I probably killed the hybrid with a little bit of a lead foot on the way back to Atlanta. I shaved a probably about an hour off whatever the average drive time would be.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your life.
Well, I may have shaved a few days off my girlfriend's life. She was not happy with my driving.
It was a scary trip. Huh?
Well, we had places to be.
I had
an appointment in Atlanta at that time. Anyway, but this car, this car's neat, and it's weird when you start driving in, in newer vehicles. This is the first car I've ever had that has a backup camera.
Oh, cool.
That I'm like maybe learning to trust, but I still have to, pop my hand over the shotgun seat and do the turnaround.
You're living in the future, man, because I've driven relatives' cars that have backup cams.
Yeah.
And they've only been around for like 10 years now.
Right.
But none of my cars have ever had them. But that is definitely a futuristic thing, and it's tough to get accustomed to trusting that, isn't it?
I don't think I will. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm always going to have to do a physical eye check. I don't use it, but I want to make sure.
Kurt, any experience with a backup cam?
Very little. Maybe in a rental car.
Yeah.
Every now and then, but... Yeah.
Do you trust it?
No.
No.
Because when you look at the screen, I can't get used to what I'm seeing exactly. Like, looking to the right and the left. You have to be familiar with the visual that the screen gives you in order to get a good feel about what's to the right or left of the car. I mean, you can see behind you, great, but then... This little fish-eyed off to the side.
So yes.
You don't get a good sense of distance and size or even if what it is. It's always good to look.
There's nothing coming from the left except a greyhound. And you're like, oh, that's not a dog. That's painted on the side of a bus.
If I had a terrible joke. You're working live. So if I had a kid or a new driver and I was letting them learn that sort of stuff, then I would probably do the old... parking lot of a school on a weekend kind of thing and be like, all right, just turn on that back camera and just go in circles.
Well, figure it out.
Use that to drive.
Yeah.
So aside from the backup camera, what's your overall impression of this thing? I mean, you said it's like future. Oh, you do love it. Okay. So you're
I
not,
like it.
Are you still reminiscing about what it was like to drive the Monte Carlo?
Absolutely.
I kind of thought you would be.
Absolutely. So,
anything that you're looking forward to? Oh, have you jumped it yet?
I have not jumped it.
Oh, come on. You've had it like 2 weeks now. What's going on?
Not yet.
Okay, well.
I'm doing a lot of, I broke out my old map where I have the, you know about this one, Scott. I have these concentric circles where I mapped out how long it takes to drive somewhere and back. And I've had this since I started driving so that I could figure out, if I have 48 hours and I cut in like of that 48 hours, I cut in 6 hours of sleep every 24 hours, then how far can I get? How far can I come back? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or how far can I get in that time? We'll see, man. It transcends habit into addiction. But I've got some cool day trips lined up. I've got one really close, by the way, this weekend as we're recording it. I'm taking some of our colleagues up to a Hindu temple in Georgia. It's pretty neat. It's legit, man.
Okay.
And also, you know, I'm still a cheapskate. It's also free to go. So it's like if you ever, you know, Scott, if you want to get the kids some culture on a little day trip, it's very reasonable to get there. And they've got a cool temple. They've got a can I say kick-ass? They have a kick-ass mm-hmm. gift shop. A little snack shop. The only thing they ask is that, you know, you have to not wear shoes in the temple. You have to not speak in the temple, a rule that is regularly disregarded by children, I should mention. And the third rule, which might be a little weird, is they ask you not to bring meat onto the premises. And it's worded in such a way that, like, you ever read laws or rules and you think, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
I feel like somebody must have run in there just like covered in barbecue sauce and ribs or something, because they're very hardcore about the meat thing. That's literally the only thing they're very hardcore about.
Well, surely can bring beef jerky. I mean, there's got to be exception to the rule.
I will
right?
ask.
And it's a cured meat.
This weekend, I will ask.
It's a dried meat. You can put it in your pocket. It's got to be all right.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, meat. This is just my pocket jerky.
Yeah, this pepperoni. What's wrong with that?
It came with the pants.
Yeah.
But yeah, long answer short, man. Yeah, I am really happy to be back on the road. Are there other cars that I would, you know, that I would want? Well, sure. There are always going to be other cars. I got close to making some less well-informed decisions, let's mm-hmm. say, because you know how it is, like...
No, it's an emotional decision sometimes.
Yeah, and you're making it, whenever you're making a big purchase, you know, there are all kinds of psychological factors that come into play where you think, for instance, I'm making up numbers, right? But let's say you're getting some super high-end car and it's like $80,000. And then you see another car and it's $95,000, but by the time you're already spending 80 grand, you're like, well, how much is it, you know, what price can you put on happiness, right? And you go back and you try to persuade your significant other that you're not crazy, you know? We've all been in some variation of that.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So here's the thing, though. We've also been, whenever we buy a car new to us or brand new or used, whatever, we always know that there are some owner modifications we have to make, right? It could be something as simple as, you know, getting some tuning done, getting some wheels that you prefer. It could be, oh God, like, what's that stuff I hate? Rain-X. You know, like, it's time to put the Rain-X on. Mm. And Scott loves
Scotch Rain-X. Guard on the seats.
Yeah. You know, all those little things. But one thing that I've been considering, and I am not alone in this, one thing I've been considering adding to this new car would be dash cams front and back.
Nicely done. I would as well enjoy a dash cam. I don't know if I want it all the time, though. And I've got kind of a few stipulations that would have to be in place, I guess, before I ever purchased one. Maybe we'll discuss those at some point down the road. What about you, Kurt? Do you think you would ever go for a dash cam?
Yeah, especially after doing a little research for this conversation here.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to talk about some interesting things in this podcast that maybe people haven't really considered when they're looking at a dash cam. Because, I mean, we've all seen dash cam footage that's, you know, either hilarious, right? Or you're watching something that is, well, it's practically like tragedy unfolding in front of you if you happen to see one that's like that. You see some interesting things, like newsworthy things. You find, well, you know what? Maybe we should just let some of these go until we actually get to them, because there's some other twists to this whole thing that I find fascinating, and some ways that you can use dash cams either to your advantage or maybe even to your disadvantage, as we'll discuss. But we've wanted to do a show on dash cams for a long time. It's not like they're a brand new technology, of course. And I know we've talked about, you know, dash cam footage that we've seen, you know, some funny, some unique things that we've seen, or just in passing, you know, nothing really in depth. But we haven't really talked about, like, you know, who needs them or how much they cost or what they do, or, you know, the real intent behind them, the real purpose behind them. So there's a lot of angles here that we just have never covered over the past years. I mean, I know we've again just touched on a few things, but we've never really talked about them in one complete show. And I think with Kurt here and with Ben here and myself, we should be able to have a pretty decent discussion about what we've seen, what we know about them. I don't know if this is necessarily the place, and I hope I'm not, you know, raining on anybody's parade here when I say that I don't think we're going to, like, you know, recommend one specific model for you to get that's the best one or anything like that. This technology changes relatively quickly, just like you would expect. There might be some that are recommended by certain, you know, websites like CNET or, you know, any consumer guide or, you know, places like that that might say this is the best one right now for its price point. And that's fine. We can talk about those.
And there's such a variety of price point, right?
Yeah, oh, there really are. Yeah, that's another thing is the incredible variety of prices. I think Kurt and I were talking off air about the gap between the lowest and the highest price one that I was able to find, and it's immense. It's a mm-hmm. huge difference, but what you get is also completely different. So we can dive into all this, but I think that it's something that's it's worthwhile talking about because it seems like we would all benefit from something like this. I mean, almost everybody. And Ben, you had mentioned to me off air as well that and to Kurt that. You almost see this as becoming like maybe a required feature on cars.
Absolutely.
Soon.
Yeah, some absolutely.
Type, something that is mandated, right?
And the reason, And the reason I feel that's a solid bet is because of the rise of onboard camera technology that we already have for, you know, parking assistance, like a rear view camera, right? Mm-hmm. Also, in terms of insurance and determining liability, it's a no-brainer for insurance companies. The way that I would see it happening is I would see certain models or types of dash cams being incentivized by private insurance companies. So it just like a lot of these insidious kind of overarching systems, it rarely starts out as something you have to do. It starts out as something you can opt into for a discount, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, the discount becomes less and less important because the true cost of insurance in everybody's head is the cost of insurance that you pay when you have a dash cam. Because of course you would. Why wouldn't you?
Of course you
they
would.
They normalize it. That's what I think is happening.
It's going to become normalized technology is
I
what you think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah
I really think so. I mean, but right now, like think about who needs these right now. For my short list of people that needs them, and it probably includes everybody really, but for now, you know, truck drivers, fleet owners, bus drivers, anybody that drives for maybe a shared ride company like Uber or Lyft, you know, those drivers, they need them. They point them the opposite direction to point inside the vehicle for safety. So they use them as well. Taxi drivers, of course. And the general idea is that, you know, you get this a camera that records a wide angle of view. A lot of times you'll see the angle as one of the selling features on the cameras, typically like 170, 180 degrees. So you get a wide angle. And it's just a constant recording of what's happening in front of the vehicle or wherever that lens happens to be pointing. It might be pointing inside the vehicle, as we said, for a shared driver. But you also could have multiple cameras on the car. You could have all different variations of this. But, you know, so these views are all from, you know, one or more viewpoints. And as Ben said, this could be extremely valuable for insurance companies if they decided that, you know, if you have a dash cam on your car, we're going to give you a bit of a cut rate on your premium for the next 6 months or, you know, next year or whatever, as long as you keep that on and make that available to us if there is an accident, if there is a problem. And of course, you'd have to agree to that. You know, I guess once that's all in place, you can, again, count on that benefit coming through, even though you have to invest in the technology to begin with. Or if you're lucky enough, maybe you've got a car that already has this built in, because there are cars that have systems built in that will do this already. Now, I would have to assume that this encompasses almost any car right now that is claiming to be driverless, any car that is claiming to have an autonomous mode.
Sure.
Because the one in particular that I'm thinking of is one that we've seen in recent news, and maybe the two of you have also seen this, but there's something in the Tesla models that's called Sentry Mode. Have you heard of Tesla Sentry Mode?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is something that uses the Tesla cam videos, I guess, as dash cam footage. And Sentry Mode is a mode that you can put the car in that, again, uses the cameras. And there are 8 cameras in total on the new Tesla model. So there's a lot of them. I mean, they're forward-facing, rearward facing, you know, left, right, that, you know, it's they're all over the place, these cameras. You can look up the locations if you want, but they capture video of vandals that might be up to no good around your vehicle. And it does this in a pretty cool fashion, I think. I've watched some people try to trigger the system, you know, to see what it takes to activate the system, because you do have to put your car into Sentry Mode. It's not going to automatically do that. And you do have to, they say, install the dash cam, but it's not really installing it. It's just more like having access to it. So there's very specific steps you have to go through in order to set up your Tesla cam system in order to make it work this way. But if you have a Tesla car that was built after August of 2017, any of these models, the Model 3, the Model S, or the Model X, you will have that feature available to you as of February of 2019. So you can activate this, but again, you have to go through the process to be able to do it. It's very effective, but it does activate all these cameras when there is a presence noted around your vehicle that looks like they're up to no good. And it's funny to watch, you know, the videos. You can watch them on YouTube or whatever video platform you want, but you'll see an owner trying to trigger his own sentry mode, you know, trying to trigger the camera. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So it's kind of comical, you know, like what works. Like, all right, I'm pretending as if I'm walking through a parking lot next to my car and, you know, he's in his driveway doing this. Like I'm walking next to the parking, a parked car here, doesn't turn on. But he'll stop and look in the window of the car and it will turn on. It'll activate it. And one of the most clever things about this is that the cameras pick up, you know, all of them activate and, you know, it picks up audio and everything. The really cool part about this is that it's always recording anyway. So if you've got it in the sentry mode, let's say that an action happens, like someone bumps into your car in the parking lot and they leave. You know, it happens a lot. You know, they'll open the door into it or park, you know, parking, they may bump your bumper. What's really cool about this is that the recording is actually beginning, the recording that you're accessing is recording 10 minutes before the action was detected. So it's because it's continually going, it recognizes that moment when something happens. That's the moment that it actually activates and turns on. But you get video and audio from 10 minutes prior to that because of the continuous record.
Which is smart. You know, I like that because we've all been at least adjacent to a situation where we see a bumper. Like a little bit of paint is lost on one bumper or another. It's a parking lot. Mm-hmm. Someone misjudged the distance or something. Or someone was a jerk with a shopping cart. I saw something years ago on the internet, and this was a true story. Somebody got their car hit, and then they came out of, you know, whatever store they were in, and they see this little, like, piece of notebook paper on the windshield, and this person said, "Hi, I'm sorry, I bumped into your car. I don't have any money, and I'm not going to give you any of my information, but somebody saw it happen, so I'm writing this note." And I was like, wow, that's pretty cold. That's pretty cold,
it
too.
Is,
what
yeah.
kind of sociopath is out there in the parking lot of the Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever?
Also, you know you're captured on surveillance cameras. You're going to get caught.
Right,
yeah.
right.
My conscience wouldn't allow this.
There are people out there who will rationalize doing completely irresponsible things. And that's why I think it's better for everybody if we all have dash cams, asterisk, because I do have some concerns. But to step back, you know, one thing we didn't say, the way that a dash cam is typically going to work, it's going to be, it's not going to be as fancy as the Tesla Sentry mode.
Yeah, of course.
That's like very high end. Instead, it's going to be something like a small thing mounted on your windshield, often with a suction cup, right? And some you can use permanent adhesive on, but that's a commitment, especially if it breaks or you want to upgrade, to your point, Scott, about how fast the technology is evolving. And then it typically records on a micro SD card, right?
Yeah, some sort of a internal or external type of storage.
And then you have to be careful because in many of these devices, the footage will just be collected until that card is at capacity, mm-hmm. and then it'll just loop and start erasing everything.
Yeah, it starts to rewrite the old files. And so old videos are often recorded over unless you stop them. If there's an event of some sort, you know, an accident or, you know, an occurrence of whatever that you want to see. Like maybe you were driving home and, you know, a deer ran in front of your car and it was so close you couldn't believe it, but then you want to check the footage when you get home to see how close it really was. Just, you know, something cool like that might have happened. Or you might have witnessed an accident and you want, you know, that person to have some sort of benefit from your file footage. You know, you can offer that to them if you wanted to. Or, you know, it could be something that you're involved in as well. It could be that. It could just be a picturesque drive. Maybe you want something kind of cool to upload if you're driving the Tail of the Dragon or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, some really interesting road or, you know, somewhere like that. Now, we've seen you know, people use GoPros for this for a long, long time. But it's slightly different. The GoPros just record until the battery's dead or, you know, the space is filled up.
And they're thirsty beasts.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, we've had experience with them in that road rally that we did, but we were continually changing batteries and locations and moving it all over the place. And we had several of them going all at once. That was kind of a different thing. It's not like a purpose-built dash cam that is mounted in one spot all the time. It never moves. It's got power from the car systems. You know, it's like an accessory that's running all the time. It's just it's a different beast, really. But I will tell you this. I was surprised to find that you can, if you wanted to, you know, everybody's got a smartphone in their pocket, right? And chances are you've got an old smartphone that's sitting in a desk drawer somewhere, likely. You can turn that old smartphone into a dash cam if you want. There are apps that are available that you can use to you can download that and use your smartphone as a dash cam, and it does have a lot of the features that you would expect in other dash cams, only the storage is a little bit different. The way the files are saved and rewritten are different on some. I know that, you know, that doesn't apply to every single app that might be out there, but it will give you things that you didn't expect to have on a smartphone type device like this, like, you know, where it will timestamp the image. It'll also tell you, you know, critical information like your speed, your location, probably if you have GPS involved. But it could also show you, you know, which direction you're headed. It could be a lot of valuable information for you if you need it in, let's say, a court case, because you can take footage from dash cams into a courtroom situation and show them. They've been used many, many times to prove innocence in a lot of cases.
Ah, yes, yes, because we're also interacting with the world of scams here, right?
Yes.
So we've got, think about it this way. All right, so you're the esteemed Kurt Guerin, and you are driving down the streets of Mumbai or something, and you've paused, Kurt. You've stopped maybe at a stoplight or stop sign or something, and then out of nowhere, someone runs toward your car. They slam their hands on the hood, and then they throw themselves on it, then throw themselves back on the ground, and then have some accomplices who are ready to go to court and say that you hit this person.
You hit a pedestrian.
And they saw it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Luckily for you, you have a dash cam. And it's right there in the vicinity of your rearview mirror. And that dash cam, let's say you have a 16 gigabyte SD card, it's been recording for up to 2 hours. And so you can say, all right, that's fine, buddy. I will see you in court. And then, like you said, Scott, you can play the footage of you at a full stop when this guy runs up and then, you know, fakes his injury or fakes this accident.
And as ridiculous as that sounds, how many videos of that have we seen in the last week when we're researching this?
This is a real thing. Yeah,
Kurt, that's probably the reason that we see a lot of cameras in certain areas of the world.
I think so, too. I mean, how many times did we see the scenario that Ben was talking about play out in the videos that we watched? You know, the compilations of dash cam footage.
No, they're everywhere.
Yeah, there are. It's people,
different scenarios. But
there was a guy that I saw run and dive onto someone's hood, and this is the worst one I saw. He repeatedly smashed his own head into the windshield until the windshield broke, and then he fell on the ground. So this guy was really into it.
I mean, desperate for the money.
He was going for big money. It wasn't just, you know, you knock me down and I'm a little hurt. It's I've got a cut on my head now. You hit me hard enough and fast enough, but the footage shows that the guy, you know, the driver had stopped long before the man even you know, was near the vehicle, 10 feet from the car. He dove onto the hood and then smashed his head into the windshield 3 or 4 times and then rolled onto the ground. And that happens over and over and over again. It happens with, you'll see bicycle riders trying to pull the same scam. Of course, cars will try to pull the same scam. And Kurt, you and I talked about this before. This is big time insurance fraud, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, there's a couple of different ways that they can do this. I've looked this up. There are 4 main types of staged accidents that scammers will try to pull on you on the road that can be thwarted with the dash cam.
Now, I remember we talked years and years ago about common accident scams, but this list may be news. I strongly suspect it has some golden oldies on there.
I think that it does. Yeah, these are staged accidents. You got to remember this, but I guess the golden lining and this silver lining. I'm terrible with these sayings. The silver lining on this cloud, this puffy cloud.
Yeah. You had a real hard time with leading a horse somewhere before.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It's the idea, the good part about this is you can have a dash cam and get out of any of these situations if you happen to have this recorded. Now, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Still, a lot of people don't have dash cams, right?
I mean, right. They're not mandatory, and no one, also it's an expense.
Well, no one in this room has one yet.
No, but I don't, but I'm getting some.
I honestly think that it's not a bad idea for, you know, all of us to get one, and probably I might even look into the one from, you know, my wife's car, my daughter's car, just because of what we've seen. But these four types of scams, these four accidents, they actually name them. There's the drive down, which involves a scammer who motions for a victim to move forward or to, you know, merge into a lane or to go ahead. Like, you've all seen this, right? You stop, someone kind of motions you through,
sure.
You start to go. Well, they would then begin to go as well. And then the person that, you know, they have motioned would wreck into them. That would be the problem. You know, it'd be your problem. It'd be the merging victim's problem because the scammer would deny motioning them forward at all. They would say, like, no, I never did that. I don't know what happened. You just cut right into me. But you would be able to spot that on a good quality dash cam. There's the panic stop. I think this is one that we're all familiar with from those videos that we've watched, the compilations. This is one where someone in front of you just jams on the brakes for no reason. It could be a green light. They slam on the brakes, and you just smash right in the back of them. And partially what happens here is not just, you know, like they slam on the brakes and hope someone isn't paying attention. They're watching the rearview mirror for somebody to either look down or to look out the window to the left or right.
Maybe hold up a phone like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. They're watching for something like this to happen. Like for you to just for a second not pay attention, that's when they apply the brakes and that's when you smash into them, making it your fault, of course. It's a dirty game.
Yeah, sometimes they'll even back up into you if there's no one else around.
So you've seen that then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens?
Well, they're trying to get you to rear end them by repeatedly hitting their brakes. And then if you're paying attention, they'll just ease back into you.
Oh. See, on the dash cam, you actually see the reverse lights as they back into you, which is super frustrating that it happens. But it seems like a lot of times the second that the driver gets out of, you know, the victim gets out and points at the dash cam or says, I have a dash cam, the car that's in front decides they're just going to take off and they leave. You know, of course, you've got their license plate information. You've got now maybe even a physical description of them if they get out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to see that on that footage, but it's invaluable because otherwise, guess who's at fault in that situation? All they have to do is just a he said she said situation in court,
right? And given the location of the damage,
yeah,
it's going to be the person in the rear car,
exactly right. And but
unless there's a witness, which could sometimes be. There's cameras everywhere, so you never know.
But the scammers bring their own witnesses.
Okay.
If you're going to back into somebody and make it look like a rear-ender, though, you're pretty desperate.
You know,
right.
Scam has gotten to desperate levels.
Good point.
You have just touched on something that I feel – okay, we're in the middle of our list here. Two more, but a lot of times what will happen when something like this happens, especially the pedestrian accidents that we talked about before – suddenly, out of nowhere, there are many witnesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they look like about the same age and the same group of people as the person that's been wronged here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they'll step out from the shadows, and there's like three witnesses. They've got, you know, phones in their hand. They're taking still photographs of their friend who was on a skateboard seconds ago laying in front of your car, you know, saying that they were just hit, but they weren't even hit at all. They just laid down in front of you. So these witnesses appear, and you know, you get out again and show them, I've got a dash cam. A lot of times they will just take off running. And I've seen it many times on these dash cam videos.
On both sides of this scam, right?
And the other thing that happened, the other thing that occurs is they may have even, you know, somebody that comes by and says, oh, hey, you know what? I've got a repair shop nearby.
Mm-hmm.
I can hook you up with, just a cash deal. So why don't you just come over and pay me $500 cash and I'll replace that bumper and, you know, no insurance will get involved, that kind of thing. So that happens. And then there's another scam where people pull up, like suddenly, what do you know, there's a tow truck right there. It happens to be two cars away from the car that you just hit. And they stop and offer their assistance and it's the same situation. Now they've got your car or the other car and they're saying, well, why don't you just pay for the tow to this shop and we'll figure it out. And it ends up being like a cash transaction. Never, never let that happen. But there's so many different levels to these scams. It's unbelievable when you really think about it. I had two more real quick ones, if you don't mind, but these are the staged accidents. There's also the sideswipe, which is, you know, we can all picture this too, I think. And it's one we've talked about, Ben.
The old sideswipe.
Yeah. This is when there are two turn lanes, like picture two left turn lanes. And the scammer will take the outside lane And as the victim starts to make the inside turn, the scammer just waits for them to get a little bit too close to that outside lane, which often happens, you know, the right front of your car, and they'll sideswipe you. And then they'll say, or they'll move their car so that your car sideswipes their car, is more accurate to say.
So that you hit maybe the back quarter of their vehicle.
Exactly right. And then they will speed up and sometimes, you know, of course, cause this accident to happen. And then, of course, say that, you know, you came over too far into the outside lane. It was your fault, et cetera. But dash cams will take care of this as well.
There's another interesting thing there, too, that makes that scam believable. And it's that a lot of people, when they're taking turns on a double turn lane, whether right or left, a lot of people are really garbage about staying in their own lane anyway.
Yes.
And I don't understand why. It's one of those many, many things that I will not hesitate to go a little road rage, judge, dread,
it happens,
judge, jury, execution. Oh, yeah.
It happens daily, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. I mean, it's so elementary.
Well, it's usually the outside person cutting in.
Right.
You know, it's usually going too far, you know.
Going too wide.
They're
switching
lanes
in the intersection.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, oh, it's easier to make the right on red here, but then I'll just sort of, I don't know, I'll just sort of wobble my car into the lane that I would ideally have liked to have been in at some point.
That's really hoping, that's putting a lot of faith in the fact that somebody's going to allow you in, too, because there's a lot of people that are aggressively defending that, for whatever reason, they're aggressively defending that 15 feet of pavement in front of their car. I don't know why, but it happens.
Hey, what's number four?
The number four, oddly enough, it's named my favorite dance move, the swoop and squat.
Oh, yeah,
No, I'm just kidding. I don't dance.
Scott has
it's been said around the office that I do have a bit of a dancer's body, and I don't know if that's true or not.
I think it's because, going back to the Usain Bolt stuff from previous episode,
probably.
I think it's because of the energy you put into your daily running.
It must be.
Yes, you're training.
Yeah.
It probably is my training. Yeah. I'm pretty intense. And, you know, you've seen
people
how
can see that.
I mean, you've seen how I eat. You know, I eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know,
you
it's clear.
To
yeah.
keep topped up on but energy.
Really it's just fuel
right.
for the machine. Well, also, you know, the swoop and squat, I don't know if you know this, Kurt. Scott is the, what was it? He is the champion of the swoop and squat in southern Northwest Ohio.
it's a very small region, but
yeah, but you're number one there.
I'm the best.
Well, that dance is really big there. That's the hotbed.
Yeah.
So
that's where,
if you're going to do the swoop and squat, that's where you go. That's where you can
I have a satin jacket with that embroidered on the back. Yeah. It's very classy.
Yeah, there are a lot of initials.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's a very discreet part of Ohio.
Yeah, okay.
I'm so sorry, man. What's number four?
Okay, this has gone silly enough. I guess the swoop and squat, this is another, of course, another staged accident. And, of course, this involves where the scammer passes the victim and then merges ahead of them while applying the brakes. And then the victim can't react in time and then rear-ends the scammer. Now, this sometimes will be played out with two cars, two scammer cars, which is, I find kind of extra elaborate, really. And this is when the first car has passed the victim, the second car then pulls ahead of both of them and then slams on the brakes, then making the middle car then have to slam on their brakes, and that's where the accident happens. And then the first car that caused all this leaves, and of course there's no blame to be had in that, right? Because, hey, I had to stop fast as well because that car was stopping. So they had an extra level to this whole thing, but that has also been captured by dash cams many, many times in the past. You can watch examples of all of these happening on dash cams, which I find really fascinating because you can just watch these things unfold once you know what to watch for. And, you know, I don't know for sure, but have you ever felt like you've been like kind of part of something like that? I mean, you're in traffic and someone is just braking completely irrationally. Someone is, you know, almost, it feels intentional that they're trying to get you to ram the back end of their car and you're trying to be careful. And it just feels like that. Yesterday, I had a very close moment on the freeway, which is terrifying. Someone came to a near dead stop, I mean, from freeway speeds.
Wow.
Almost dead stop to get over a lane for no good reason.
That's so ridiculous.
It was unbelievable. There's that 3 or 5 seconds where you are just confident that you're not only going to hit that bumper in front of you, and that luckily didn't happen, and then you look behind you and you're like, oh, that guy's going to hit me. It's going to happen. Here it comes, and then it doesn't. And you're just like so happy when all that has passed, but also angry at that person because, you know, what kind of fool does something like that on a freeway? But again, you know, there's moments like that when you think, all right, if something bad did happen, I would have been in a much better condition going into court trying to fight this thing if I had footage from a dash cam.
And furthermore, I'm just going to hobby horse this a second because I'm setting something up here, guys. Furthermore, if everybody has a dash cam because it's mandatory, then you will have multiple reports of anything like that. Even if it's not a scam, even if it's someone who is just genuinely a bad driver because they're a dumb person.
Yeah, you're just really terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even then, there will be multiple angles. It will be impossible to try to spin a different narrative. I'm setting that up because I would like to take a moment, if it's okay, to talk about my pressing concerns, my anti-dash cam.
Oh, yeah.
Philosophy. Just, I feel like we need to say this. So not only will this sort of technology, in my mind, become mandatory in the near to mid future, but also the trend of cars being connected to the web is unfortunately going to continue, right? Mm-hmm. Everything your phone can do, your car can do, and then your car will be able to do more. You'll be connected, especially like you said, Scott, with the rise of autonomous vehicles, will be connected in these massive citywide or regional grids, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll happen way before we get any kind of federal level thing, of course, because technology always outpaces legislation. The problem with this is that we will have very few privacy, like actionable privacy guarantees. Mm-hmm. And this stuff will start running through, like as soon as these dash cams are connected to the cloud, right? They'll be on all the time. Why wouldn't you turn it off, right? It may be illegal to operate a vehicle without a working dash cam at some point.
Where am I supposed to smoke my crack?
Right. Where is Scott supposed to smoke his crack?
That wasn't me. That was someone in the back of the room. Didn't you hear that? It was way up in the corner.
Yeah, that's also Scott. Yep. My bad. It's short for Scottathan.
No, really. Like, what, I mean, so the stuff that you do in your private car is then going to be public knowledge.
Or
that's the problem.
Right, right, right. And that could go with, that's going to be tied to GPS data as well. It's not, I'm not saying that anybody is smoking drugs or that they're doing illicit stuff automatically.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, sorry, Scottathan. But I will say that it is a terribly misleading argument for anyone to say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you so worried about? Well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you so worried about?
Okay.
That's disingenuous. It's misleading. And there are potentially profound privacy concerns when it comes to dash cams.
I've had this argument for a long time about the, you know, I understand the thought behind this too. You know, a lot of people is like, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying anything interesting enough on my phone. Why would anybody really care about right. listening in? I don't care. Anybody can listen in if they want to. It's boring, right?
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is that somebody's listening into a private conversation on your private phone. That's the problem. And if it becomes like this with dash cams inside your car, audio inside the car, because, you know, the audio is another element to this whole thing. And
great
that's,
point.
You know, early on, I'll tell you, this is one reason that I probably wouldn't want to get a dash cam in my car. Now, I do think I want one that has video, but I don't think that I want one that has audio. And there's a couple of reasons. One is because my taste in music might suck. And, you know, any type of video that might appear might have some terrible music applied to it, you know, which we've all seen that too. Like, you're like, have you ever seen those videos? And it's like a great video. Something's really cool is going to happen. But you're like, what is that person listening to? Voodoo music or something. I don't know what's going on.
Russian dash cam music.
Russian dash cam music. That's what it's terrible. It's terrible stuff. How many just like inane conversations have you heard on these as well? Like people just talking with their girlfriend or their husband or their wife or whatever about whatever, you know, like going to the grocery store and then something happens and they both go, oh my, you know, or whatever happens in front of them, you know, it adds a little bit of drama, sure, but you got to listen to them just chit-chatting before. And that's a private conversation that's now public, right?
Right. They're saying stuff like, well, you know, that other yogurt just gives me the gas. And I can't sit in the room all holy hell, what is that guy in the BMW
and
doing?
And suddenly, bam. Yeah, and then something happens and you know, that's the trouble, right? I mean, you get that 5 or 10 seconds of conversation that you wouldn't necessarily want anybody to hear.
Yeah.
But it adds to the video. It's part of the video. Then the other thing is, like, I don't know about you. Sometimes, like, when that happened yesterday, that that event, that near accident.
Yeah.
Boy, all filters are off at that point when I'm speaking. I was angry. You might just consider that, you know, there's also sometimes when something that you say could be misconstrued or applied to whatever, you know, like they might hear you say something aggressive or angry about that driver or whatever. And if you think that they're not going to go back that far in the footage, you're wrong. They're going to take all of that and maybe even more. You know, they might take additional footage from you for a court case.
The entirety of the 2 hours, and right, on that 16 gig. Here's
one example that I can point to in particular that showcases this. There's a guy, this is a very recent case, and I know there have been other ones, but this is a recent one that happened in, I'm scanning the notes here, South Wales. So this is a guy, his name is Scott Curtis. He's 45 years old from South Wales, and he just received a jail term for 2 years and 6 months based on footage from his own dash cam.
Wow.
So his own dash cam convicted him, and he was apparently Scott Curtis was up to no good. He's a drug dealer, and he was jailed by his own, you know, caught by his own dashboard cam. He was recorded saying as he sold gear, which gear means, I guess, in
like
slang,
drug paraphernalia.
It's methamphetamine. Gear is particularly methamphetamine.
I'm so behind the times.
He said, well, I didn't know either. I didn't.
Gear?
Well, I guess Kurt knew that. Kurt knew.
Why would you call it gear? Whatever.
How do you know that, Kurt? Anyway,
I feel bad because I say gearhead all the time.
I think it's a different meaning, I guess. But he was saying something. I mean, he said a few real damning things here in his. He said something like he doesn't do Valium, but he said he does sell gear. Is what he sold. What he said. They suspected him of selling this, but he was caught throwing little baggies of heroin and cocaine out of his car in some car chase. Then they caught him. You know, he claimed he wasn't doing anything wrong, of course. They see that he has a dash cam. So they go to the dash cam footage. They take it as audio as well. And they go back 2 hours in the footage, and it shows him like out, I think he's like polishing the hood of his car, and he's talking to someone on the phone, and you can hear it outside. And again, he's talking about, you know, like he doesn't sell Valium, but he does sell gear. And, you know, he's talking about other Class A drug deals that he had done from this yellow Ford Focus that he was driving. And apparently, like once he was shown this, he said, you know, he was still maintaining his innocence in court even. And they said, look, here's the footage. Here's what we've got. And he just completely admitted to the whole thing. Went away for 2.5 years. But again, that's one case where, you know, as a lot of lawyers have said, you know, these dash cam footage, you know, these files can cut both ways. It can help you or it could really hurt you in some cases. You know, if it shows you've been driving aggressively up until the point of that accident and then you're trying to say this accident was caused just by another bad driver, they may have, you know, a different opinion if they look at that.
I'm also wondering, now that you mention it, for audio-enabled dash cams, I'm wondering if the content there could be pulled without an accident occurring. You know what I mean? Like maybe somebody's got a messy divorce proceeding.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody is, they're doing some financial crimes. I don't know. They're having a conversation on the phone that gets picked up, like you said, with the gearhead.
Well, think about this also. Like, let's say that, you know, we talked about Uber and Lyft drivers and, you know, drivers that are shared ride, maybe taxis or something.
Yeah.
They've got the camera lens facing backwards, but they've also got audio on so they can record what's happening. It's for their own safety, really. And I understand
that. That makes sense.
However, it's also illegal unless you're telling them that you're recording them. You know, they can see the video. They can, you know, maybe you've even got a little sign, but it might have to say we're recording audio as well because you might pick up their private conversations and then be able to use that against them somehow or use that, you know, in a different way, or it might become public knowledge.
That's when you need to have two-party consent. That's different in every state.
Right, right.
Like, yeah.
Georgia's one party.
Georgia is one party consent.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, so it varies state by state, but I mean, there's so many different concerns here with audio and video and what you're picking up and what you're using it for.
Yeah,
really.
And also, at what point do you have to give someone your private footage that you've taken, or how far back can they go in that footage?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of gray area here, which is another reason to be concerned about the use of the cameras.
It means a lot that you guys aren't automatically calling me tinfoil hattish and crazy.
No, of course not. Of course. Now, we do that
while I'm in the room.
We do that off mic. No, you know what? I think I've only got a couple more things here, and then we'll maybe wrap it up. But I did want to say that there are some brands out there that are expensive, and there's some brands out there that are inexpensive.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about the disparity in price yet. And I will tell you that, you know, you can pick one up from, like, some of the big names that you would expect, like Garmin or Cobra or Pioneer. And I think there's even some called, like, there's one called Falcon Eye, which has some real high-end equipment. There's Kenwood. Lots of different makers and lots of different features you can look for. But when I said, you know, that Kurt and I were talking about the disparity in prices, you know, the difference in, like, from low to high, the cheapest one that I found online that you can buy, I couldn't hardly believe this when I found it. You can buy a 720 1080p full HD car camera recorder that has 170-degree wide angle and night vision, it claims HDMI hookups, for $3.64.
What?
I know. And I got to believe that is probably not a high-def image that you would be able to use in court. I bet it's pretty low-res. I don't think that it's going to be as fantastic as it makes itself out to appear in this ad for $3.64. There's just no way.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, man. If the point of a dash cam is to stop scams, that sounds like you're entering into one. I'm wrong.
But then I was surprised on the other end of the spectrum. You know, you do the sort feature and you get the most expensive one, and you do get to a company that I mentioned just a second ago, Falcon Eye.
Yeah.
And Falcon Eye has a completely different set of clientele, I believe. They've got the fleet owners. So these are people that are adding dash cams to their fleet of trucks, like maybe semi-trucks or, you know, cross-country haulers.
Sure. Yeah.
These will have multi-camera capability. They have password sign-ins that the drivers don't have access to. It has streaming capability so that, you know, they can be viewed from anywhere the owner chooses. You know, like if they're back in the office or at home or wherever, they can watch what the drivers are up to. Wi-Fi capability, all that. We're talking in the neighborhood of like $1,200 to $1,500, but the cameras, they may be equipped with, like, you know, anywhere from 3 to 8 cameras. Again, they have a lot of added complexity to the system as well. I mean, they're not the $3 camera that we're talking about here at the cheap end. These are the real, real expensive ones, and there's everything in between. And I kind of found that the best ones, the ones that are mostly recommended by the current list, the 2020 lists for, you know, the best value for your money, the best, you know, the best optics at night, that type of thing. The ballpark price here seems to be right around $250. That seems to be like a top, like a really good quality one, brand name, one that has a good image. It's got good reputation, good ratings. You can get them for $50 that are still decent, but they won't have the options that the ones that are $250 will have. And I mean, this is like with anything else. You can go to the extremes. You can go to the $3 one. You can go to the $1,200 one if you want. But somewhere in the middle is usually the best deal for you.
It's so weird too, because as you said, this field is still evolving very quickly with the technology, right? And it's converging with other technologies, cloud connections, so on. But I don't think we mentioned how new dash cams are. Like, dash cams really started mainstreaming for civilian drivers in 2012.
Yeah,
Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts because, you know, we've seen so many dash cam footage clips from police cars. Police have used these for, seems like, 10, 12 years now.
Some of the best television in American history is composed almost entirely of footage from police dash cams.
I watch hours of that every week, I think. It's so entertaining to me. I love, because it's all police chase is captured on some of these dash cams, and some of that footage is just unbelievable. It's amazing to watch, but you can get similar footage, I guess, if you're up to it. Ben, if you're out jumping your Ford Escape someday, I do expect that you'll have a dash cam in place when you do that. And Kurt, are you going to get a dash cam, you think?
Eventually?
Yeah. What do you think we'll capture on your... I mean, you're going to be chasing down bikers on the road, doing a little intimidation tactics, a little... you're like the opposite, right?
Yeah. I'll play it safe.
Yeah, I know you do.
I do want to know where you go to jump your cars, though.
Oh, there are places all over. Thanks to the fine services of the city of Atlanta, you know what I mean? You can jump your car almost anywhere.
Yeah, makeshift ramps.
The big thing is whether you can land it, honestly.
Yeah. That's crazy. The Department of Transportation is building ramps for us now.
Yeah.
It just seems like it anyway.
It does. Yeah. I would say also, this is a serious question. Do you think we could get a price break if we all went in? Like if we each got one front, one rear camera, then we'd be buying six. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go with that $4 dash cam.
Oh, no, and you know, that's something, too. Like, you might be able to buy a setup that has a front and rear, which, by the way, makes for really great footage.
If there's
a lot of footage online. So if you haven't done this yet, and I can't imagine that many listeners haven't. But check out dash cam footage. Most of it is going to come, as Kurt said, from Russia.
Check out the Russian dash cam footage. There are other players in the game, but Russia is by far and away the best when it comes to dash cam footage.
Primo Russian.
It's just the wacky stuff seems to happen there.
Yeah, Russia is to dash cams as the United States is to baseball. There are other people doing it, but there's one country that clearly is the best.
I feel like I'm prepping for the SAT here when I hear a question like that. You know, like,
you can see all kinds of things. You can see a meteor shower.
Yeah, right? Kerr was just talking about this. That's one of your favorite ones, right? The meteorite strike in Russia?
Yeah.
There's plane crashes. You can see some air disasters happen, unfortunately, in front of you. There's lots of natural disaster footage, bridges collapsing, that type of thing. There's a multitude of things you can look for, but they all come up under the keyword of dash cam footage. And it's something worthwhile to watch just to kill a little time if you need to. It's entertaining. It's also a little scary. And it may even kind of shock you into wanting to get one of these for yourself just to protect yourself when you really start to look at some of the scams that are pulled and some of the dire consequences that could result if these people didn't have a dash cam. You know, they could be in real serious legal trouble.
Better safe than sorry. And then also I would consider, for anyone who is just concerned about documentation in general, I do want you to know it is not illegal to have your dash cam running if you are pulled over by law enforcement or anything like that. So, you know, it keeps everything transparent.
Yeah, there's plenty of clips of that online, too.
Yeah, I think we're at this stage, we're at kind of a sweet spot, because once the stuff becomes cloud connected, guys, I'm going to freak out. I am going to freak out and go a little bit like conspiratorial, and I'll probably try to find some way to disconnect mine from the web.
Well, just hang on to that escape and you'll be okay, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. It's kind of like when we were lost in that great North American quiet zone or something, we had to use your old tomahawk.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it was a Garmin. Yeah,
an
ancient Garmin GPS device, and it worked perfectly. It really got us out of a jam.
Yeah, that place.
So yeah, now's the time to buy your dash cams.
Yeah.
And then save them for when you can't find one that doesn't automatically connect you to the network.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, that is a good idea. Yeah.
All right. No, I'm in. I'm going to, my new business is going to be vintage dash cams.
Wait, aren't you also stockpiling light bulbs for some reason?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you don't like LED ones? With that information.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I like the teaser.
Well, we don't know where you store them.
No,
that's critical.
Yeah, that's mission critical for me. So
in that bunker.
Okay, look, I'm leaving.
I
want to hear from other people. Find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram. Let us know your experience with dash cams. Now, obviously, we're not saying every driver is a criminal. Obviously, we're not saying anything derogatory about the fine men and women in law enforcement who are literally risking their lives every day. But law enforcement caught on to dash cams way before the civilian world did, and they did so because there's a reason. They work, they can save money. More importantly, they can save your life.
Yeah, they protect them, right? They protect them against many, many legal battles that would have been lost had there not been kind of that, the unblinking eye, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's like, it just shows you what's there, simply that, no more. I mean, you get the audio, you get the video, it's all laid out right there, and let the judge decide.
And I guess by save your life, I mean it can save you from a life in prison.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. So I think we've got the social media taken care of. But if you want to check out our archive of information or archive of shows, you can do that at iHeart.com, or you can go to Apple Podcasts and you can leave feedback, hopefully positive feedback, but you can leave any kind of feedback you want there at either one of those. And as always, we are trying to grow our audience. So, you know, anytime you hear something you like, maybe tell a friend, you know, get somebody on board listening to car stuff. And if you do so, Ben will send you a special gift in the mail. And no, I'm just kidding.
No, that's true. No, send us your address. No promises that you will enjoy said gift, nor any promises as to the monetary value of said gift. But yeah, yeah, hit us up, and maybe we'll have like a drawing. No, Scott, you painted us into this corner. Now we're doing it. We're committing.
I'm not giving away anything from my desk. I love everything on my desk. All right. Well, I think that's about it. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you next time.
Car Stuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.